Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday evening. Spanish Fork, Utah. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by email. It's at utahchristianists@gmail.com. We also have a membership class online at our website, utahchristianists.org. I'd like to thank those who become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk about self-control, which is another way of saying sense control. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's an image of a chariot drawn by five horses. Each of the five horses represents one of the senses: hearing, touching, tasting, smelling. The reins represent the mind. The driver represents the intellect, and the passenger represents the soul, us. If the horses of the senses are not controlled by the reins, which are handled by the intellect, then the whole kit and caboodle is a recipe for disaster. The horses will go wild, uncontrolled, and eventually they'll go over a cliff. The topic today is how to control the senses, how to control the chariot of the body and get it to where you want to go. And we define self-control as the ability to achieve mastery over our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions in order to reach a long-term goal. As opposed to the immediate gratification of the senses, which demands such, self-control means to defer the gratification of the senses in order to go to a higher level. A self-controlled person keeps moving forward, keeps progressing when they feel like it and when they don't feel it. When they're in the mood, as well as when they're not in the mood. They're not stopping and starting. They're steadily moving forward because they're not being guided by their mind, their feelings, or their emotions, but they're being guided by a higher faculty. Our talk today is to help us make a decision as to whether we want to be ruled entirely by the senses and live on the same level as the animals, or whether we want to be disciplined so that we can lead a life of excellence. It is said that the senses are a network of paths leading to death. And Prabhupada gave a few examples from the animal kingdom. The deer loves to listen to beautiful music, and the hunter well knows this. He goes out into the forest, he plays a nice melody on his flute. The deer is attracted, he comes close, and he stands stock still, making an excellent target for the arrows of the hunter. By the ears, he's led to his death. The elephant is the king of the jungle. Although the lion is credited as the king of the jungle, there isn't a lion that can defeat an elephant anywhere. And yet the elephant, by his genitals, is led to follow a trained she-elephant through a narrow jungle path. The she-elephant sashays past a pit, which is camouflaged by fronds and banana leaves. But inflamed by lust, the male elephant falls into the pit, which is often filled with stakes. He's impaled, and thus he's killed because of his attraction by the sense of the genitals. The bee is another example. The bee loves to delve into the corolla of the lotus flower. It drinks the honey in order to satisfy the tongue, gets intoxicated, time passes, and when the sun goes down, the leaves of the lotus flower fold up and close for the night. The bee is suffocated and dies. Thus we say from examples like this that unbridled sense gratification are a network of paths leading to death. Now in this hedonistic, do what you feel like doing, do whatever feels good age, sense control and discipline are often painted as the enemies, as the bad guys, the party poopers, the killjoys. Rather, they're meant as tools that God has given us to help us achieve our goals in life. Here Rupanuga says in an old article in Back to Godhead magazine, we must decide whether to choose God and to love Him or not. And this is the choice of our lives. Krishna gives us the power to concentrate upon Him. If we choose not to think of Him, by default, our minds continue out of control, lost in the impermanent flux of our desires. Would you agree with me today that too many people are out of control? Out of control in their spending. The average American spends 18% more than they earn. Out of control in their eating, out of control in their attitudes, always being negative, always going around complaining, out of control in the way that they use their time, not putting any boundaries, allowing other people to manipulate them, out of control in terms of their emotions, going around always perturbed and angry and upset. And the root cause of all these is a lack of discipline. And as soon as you try for discipline, your flesh will just have a fit. It will go into conniptions. It'll say, I can't take this anymore. I'm starving. If you miss one meal, your flesh will say, I'm starving to death. Fact is, you can go 19 days without eating, and not only will it not harm you, but it'll be a benefit for your health. But you miss one meal, I'm starving to death. The first day of your diet, I can't take this anymore. Just one more hot fudge sundae, and then I'll start my diet tomorrow. I know I should get up early and read the Bhagavad Gita, but tonight there's a special guest on Letterman. Just one more night on my lazy boy with my big gulp and my chips. Most people go with their feelings and they never exercise self-control. The flesh will tell them, and they'll listen to it, it's too difficult, it's too much trouble, it's too painful. I know I should get up early and read the Gita every day, but I'm too tired. I know I should be more frugal and more considerate in my spending, but I got to have that new gadget or gidget that's being advertised, the eye this or the eye that. I know I shouldn't be hanging around these friends, but it would be too painful for me to give them up. I might get lonely. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to pay the price. We always take the path of least resistance. We take the easy way out. But those areas will keep you from God's best for you. Our challenge today is to learn to be disciplined in areas in which we need to come up higher, even if it's going to cause us discomfort. The key is practice. Prabhupada said this in a lecture. These European and American boys and girls were not accustomed to a disciplined life. And that's true. When Prabhupada came in the mid-60s, it was turn on, tune in, and drop out. That's true to say that those young people were not accustomed to a disciplined life. But he said that because Krishna consciousness is present within each and every living being's heart, simply by a little practice, one can uncover the dust from the heart and become adept at self-control and discipline. We need to get to the point where we're more interested in pleasing Krishna than we are in pleasing the senses. When you go to the gym and you use a new machine and you're all sore afterwards, you've discovered some muscles that you haven't used before. And if you go back and regularly use that machine, those muscles will be fit and those muscles will be toned. So similarly, it took us a while to get into bad habits. It may not happen overnight that we give up some of those bad habits and get into good habits and start moving forward again. Prabhupada says here in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, 8th verse, self-control means that one should not accept anything which is detrimental to the path of spiritual progress. The senses are so strong that they are always anxious to have sense gratification. Senses are always reaching out, taste something, see something, touch something, smell something, hear something. They're always grasping. The most important and difficult to control of all the senses is the tongue. How many have lost just because of an injudicious, insensitive, thoughtless word, have lost a job? Has it happened to you, or do you know someone like that? How many, because of a word, have ruined a friendship, a long-standing friendship? How many have ruined a marriage just because of uncontrolled speaking? Some people are not taking charge of their lives. They don't know how to tell the flesh no. Discipline means to take a grip, to take charge, and be in constant control, not being led around by your feelings. Have a plan and stick to it. Someone says, Lord knows I've tried to give up that habit, give up that addiction. I've tried to manage my anger. I go for a little while and then I just fall back. That's why we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna is called Rishikesha. He's the master of the senses, the Lord of the senses. With his help, there's no addiction, there's no anger problem, there's no emotional disturbance, there's no mental illness that we can't overcome with the Lord of millions and millions of universes by our side. God created us with the ability to take charge and do what's right. But we have to exercise that take charge of our own future, our own destiny, ability, and then it will get stronger with use. Come to the point of experiencing a higher taste than the taste of the animals. Here it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, self-control is achieved not by artificially stopping the senses from material enjoyment, but by engaging one's senses in the transcendental service of the Lord. The senses cannot be forcibly curbed, but they can be given proper engagement. So we're not talking about repressing the senses. We're not talking about denying the senses. But we're talking about engaging the senses in a higher pursuit. How will we know that the senses are engaged in a higher pursuit? Well, the Bhagavad Gita says, that which is common to the animals is nectar at first, but in the end, it's like poison. And that which leads to self-realization may be like poison at first, but it's like nectar in the end. Giving up watching Letterman at night and getting up early to read the Bhagavad Gita may be like poison at first, but it's like nectar in the end. Staying up late at night watching Letterman and neglecting the early morning hours, which are ideal for spiritual life, it may be like nectar in the beginning, but you'll come to regret it. It's like poison later on. People make bad choices and they say, well, I'll deal with it later. I'll put it off. I'll deny it. I'll stick my head in the sand. Later on always comes. It always comes. If you throw a ball down on the floor, don't be surprised that it bounces according to physical laws. Our future is nothing more or less than the results of the choices that we make right now. You throw a ball down on the ground and it's going to bounce up. Similarly, for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. Everything that goes around comes around. We will pay the price and later will come sooner than you think. The tissue of the life to be, we weave in colors all our own, and in the field of destiny, we reap where we have sown. There are two kinds of pain, and let's decide today which kind we want. The pain of discipline, which lasts only for a few minutes, or the pain of regret, which can last for an entire lifetime. Choose between an ounce of pain or a pound of pain. There is a price to pay to be disciplined, and that price is minute compared to the price of a life of regret, a life wasted. Don't let the enemy convince you that you don't have the power to change. Inside of ourselves, we have a supernatural power. We partner with that power every time we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here again, Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, thus being fixed, one must render service unto the Supersoul situated in one's own heart by his omnipotency. Because he is the almighty personality of Godhead, eternal and unlimited, he is the ultimate goal of life. And by worshiping him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. No matter how long you've had a habit, and no matter how bad that habit is, the power within you to change is greater than that addiction, than that emotional problem, than that mental illness, than that bad attitude, than that lazy spirit. If you'll tap into that by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, things will begin to change. Today is a day to stop making excuses. You came here today, I'm giving this message, there's a reason for it. And the reason is, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. For us to go higher, the flesh has to go lower. Well, we know this message is right, but not now. It's not a convenient time. For 22 years, we did bake sales outside of Walmarts and Kmarts to pay for the construction of this temple. Several times a day, usually an elderly person, probably with diabetes, would come up to the table, and you could see the struggle going on to buy a cookie or not to buy a cookie. They often would joke, well, I was going to start my diet today, but I guess tomorrow would be a better day to start my diet. Give me 3 packs for $5. But our message is, no, tomorrow's not going to be as good a day as today. And we hear these excuses all over. Well, I'm hot-headed because I'm Italian. That's the way we Italians are, or we Latins are. Well, I overspend because I'm a woman, and women are supposed to overspend. A guy got a call from the bank, and they said, sir, we are sorry to report to you, identity theft, your credit card has been stolen. He said, can you hold on a minute? He went to his accounts, he looked up his statement for the last month, he went back to the man in the bank. He says, tell the thief he can keep my credit card, he spends less than my wife. My whole family's overweight. My whole family overeats. I can't do anything about it. It's in my genes. But don't let any area of undiscipline keep you from moving forward. Set goals and press forward even when we don't feel like it. God put potential on the inside of you, but we have to work with Him. We have to make some effort. We have to put our faith out where He can see it. He needs to see you walk past the cookie jar before He gets involved and active in your life. We need to pay that small price in order to achieve great potential. We're very familiar with this idea of discipline in our culture. From discipline, you get the term disciple. In traditional India, the young boys around the age of 5 to 12 years old, even if they were from a very rich family or a royal family, they would all go and live with the guru. The guru was a saint of ideal character. And living with the guru was an opportunity for them to judge in close proximity and firsthand how a saintly person thinks, walks, talks, and acts. In order to earn the privilege of association called satsang with a saintly person, these young boys would perform menial tasks in the ashram of the guru. Didn't matter if they were sons of kings, didn't matter if they were sons of millionaires. Their attitude had to be, yes, sir, whatever you say, I'll accept. They had to come to eat their meals only at the call of the guru. You couldn't assume, oh, it's mealtime, let's go and eat. No, you only came to eat when the guru would call you by name. Sudhir, come and take your lunch. Arjuna, come and eat. If he would, either intentionally or unconsciously, fail to summon the student to take his meal, the student would fast that day. That's the price that they paid in order to live with a saintly person, see ideal behavior modeled, see righteousness and piety in the living flesh. And because of that system called Brahmacharya, or the Sishyas, or the disciple system, we can reel off the names of dozens and dozens of great kings who ruled justly, who took care of their citizens, who were beyond corruption, and who are famous throughout all of history. Disciple means that we study the saintly life of our superiors, how they live, how they behave, and we follow their ways. There are four basic prohibitions. There are four basic no's if one wants to advance in spiritual life. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. I think you'll all agree it's hard enough to control our senses as it is. But if we put ourselves under the influence of some stimulant, then it becomes impossible. The bare minimum qualifications for studying and discipleship and spiritual advancement, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and no meeting. And this isn't to spoil your life or to take all the fun out of it. Krishna is not trying to keep you from something, but he's trying to get you to something much, much better. Every one of us has a garden. Our consciousness is a garden that we need to cultivate. I heard about a wealthy man. He bought a huge mansion with lots and lots of grounds. He called the most well-known landscape technician in the area. He said, I will give you any amount of money. You name your price. All you have to do is create for me a maintenance-free garden. And he laughed. He said, there's no such thing as a maintenance-free garden. It requires watering, it requires tilling, it requires seeding, it requires planting. You have to pull weeds, you have to fence it off so that some wild animal doesn't trample through it. We have within us seeds of greatness. We're made by the greatest. We're made by the most excellent entity, God. And so we are excellent. We have seeds of greatness about us. But they don't manifest without tending. We have to take some care so that they germinate and fructify and grow. Sometimes we'll see someone, maybe our neighbor or someone at work or maybe on TV, and they're smiling, they're prosperous, they're promoted, they're fulfilled in their work, they have great relationships with their wife, with their kids, and you say, boy, I wish that I could enjoy those blessings. God didn't randomly pour the blessings to them. He's not partial. He doesn't favor one as opposed to the other. If you go back in time, those people who are enjoying blessings at the present, they tended their garden. They cultivated their creeper, their devotional creeper. They watered, they went out in the sun, they went down on their knees, they got dirty, and they took all the precautions that one should. And now, in the present, they're enjoying the fruits of their work in the past. And you also can enjoy blessings just like them. But you have to pay the price of discipline and self-control. These things don't happen by accident or randomly. We are each the gardeners of our own lives. Krishna doesn't love any one person more than he loves another one. Those who exercise self-control, they will step into the fullness of God's blessings. They will experience more than they could ever ask or think. Krishna's got a beautiful garden in store for each and every one of us, but we have to tend it and not be swayed by our emotions and our feelings. What are the fruits of that garden that we may look forward to? The fruits of the Spirit are peace. Fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Fruit of the Spirit is patience. Fruit of the Spirit is goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. Fruit of the Spirit is kindness. The more we follow those regular principles that I mentioned and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the more refined the senses become, the more they cultivate a higher taste, and the less we hanker after the lower animalistic satisfaction and pursuits. Krishna wants for us freedom. He does not take pleasure in seeing us enslaved by the senses. An enslaved person is a person who cannot control his senses, whereas one who is not attached to the demands of the senses is a real controller, is a real liberated person. When someone's a slave, they're forced to do things that they don't want to do. They're forced to do things that are against their own self-interest. Nowadays, you can get away with almost anything. Everything is permissible, but not every attitude, not every posture, not every action that you undertake is going to be profitable. You can get away with a bad temper nowadays because so many other people have bad tempers, you'll hardly even stand out if you fail to manage your anger. You can get away with having an addiction because there are so many other people that are popping pills, and you won't particularly stand out if you also have an addiction. But what we're talking about today is not just getting by. It's not just going along to getting along. We're talking about rising to excellence, having a life of victory, seeing our dreams come to pass. Maybe, just maybe, some of you out there today, and I'm listening as well, need to be more disciplined in choosing our friends. Some of us might need to be more disciplined in our thought life, going around less negative, less complaining. Or we might need to be more disciplined in how we choose our words and learn to bite our tongue on occasion. We might need to be more disciplined in our spending, in our finances, more disciplined in how we also spend our time. Any areas in which we're not disciplined are areas in which we will not grow. Let me challenge you today to start exercising self-control. There's no more convenient time than now. You're receiving this message now. Your footsteps brought you here today for a reason. It may be a little difficult, it may be a little painful at first, but the pain of discipline is nothing compared to the pain of regret. You are the gardener of your own life. Krishna wants to take you to a higher level. Self-control and discipline is the dividing line between excellence and mediocrity. If you'll take charge and be disciplined in your thoughts, words, feelings and emotions, Krishna will take you to places in this life that you've never dreamed of, and in the next life, he'll take you back to home, back to Godhead.